Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. What drew me to Martha Ertman's new book is its title. Ertman is a professor at the University of Maryland, but the title, Love's Promises, sounds more like poetry than law. True, the subtitle is a bit more lawyerly, How Formal and Informal Contracts Shape All Kinds of Families. The book is a blend of memoir and case law, lots of cases, that argues contracts and deals are not the enemy of love and families, but their friend. Professor Ertman joins me on the line from her home in Washington. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So your book is all about Plan A families and Plan B families. Let's start by establishing, what do you mean by that?
So obviously, what we think of as family is evolving. The United States Supreme Court is going to tell us later this month whether same-sex marriage is going to be the law across the nation. And then other things like open adoptions, where there can be potentially three parents in a family, are just part of the American landscape. I think it's too bad we talk about it in negative terms, uncommon, unconventional, non-traditional. So I really worked hard to find some neutral language to recognize that love comes in different packages. And the language I came up with is Plan A for the most common things, heterosexuality, marriage, raising kids you're genetically related to, and then Plan B for everything else, which includes reproductive technologies, families created through adoption, and living together. And the whole idea is to strive for moral neutrality instead of moral judgment.
Your family is Plan B, Martha, and you weave your own story throughout Love's Promises. Give us the baseline version of your story.
In my life, contracts have been marvelously good to me. I wouldn't have a family, or particularly a very Plan B family, if I didn't have them. So at 38, I find myself single. I'm gay. I'm thinking, I could call a sperm bank, but I don't want to do it all on my own. So I call my friend Victor from law school, who's also gay, and I ask him, do you want to have a baby? And he's kind of quiet. And then he says, what do you have in mind? And I tell him what I have in mind, and he says, let's keep talking. And we do keep talking. One day he tells me he's inclined to inseminate. And so he basically accepted my offer. And then we ended up getting lots of doctors to help us. Eventually, I do get pregnant, and I do have the child. By then, he's my best friend. And we're both law professors, so we wrote a 4-page agreement that says just what our rights and obligations are, and also tries to keep us out of court. And the idea is, by talking in a memoir voice, I can show that we form this writing, this agreement, as a loving gesture, that what would be unfriendly would be just crossing our fingers and closing our eyes and sweeping the issues of who pays for college under the rug and then hoping it works out okay.
And then later, when you fell in love with Karen, who is also a lawyer,
yep,
the agreement was amended to make her a mother.
Right, exactly. So this is the great thing. The alternative to contract is status. Status is set by nature or by God. But the great thing about contract is that it can be modified because it's human. It can be adjusted. So Victor and I came in as two gay people who were single, hoping we'd find sweethearts. We wrote that into our parenting agreement. I found a sweetheart, an amazing woman named Karen, and she was brave enough to jump into this game and very gradually become our son's second mother. So when Karen and I got married in Massachusetts in 2009, all three of us signed an agreement agreeing that she is the third mom. I mean, not the third mom, third parent, second mom.
That's University of Maryland Law Professor Martha Ertman here on WIPR, Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about her new book, Love's Promises. She'll be speaking about it tomorrow evening at the Ivy Bookshop. I got to tell you, reading your story, it struck me that your approach would work for lawyers, sure, but I'm not so sure about the rest of us.
That's exactly right. This is part of why I have the appendix show samples of how everyday people can write this kind of agreement. So a huge reason for me writing in an informal voice with telling stories that are both personal about me, but also celebrity stories and everyday people stories, is to show that you can do this at home. And in fact, it's better to take a shot at writing down who you are to each other than, as I said, just crossing your fingers and hoping it turns out okay.
Well, you say you made these agreements, you wrote them down to keep you out of court. I'm not quite sure I understand how it would work that way.
Let me give an example about how it works. I'm in Utah, a very red state. Victor's in Texas, another very red state. What we do is we build in these clauses that will help us act like decent human beings if somebody becomes an alcoholic or gets the boyfriend or girlfriend from hell or something gets in the way where we're not our best selves. The first is we promise to go into therapy. If therapy doesn't work, we promise to go into mediation, which is something shy, much more informal than the formal rigidity of court. And if all of that fails, then we have the clause I call a jerk insurance. What it says is, if we had a fight and we ended up in court, it has to be a Massachusetts court, and it has to be decided under Massachusetts law. Now, at the time, neither one of us lives in Massachusetts. So what I did is built in a very high wall we would have to scale in order to get into a courtroom, the hope being that that barrier could protect himself from being the kind of person he does not want to be.
You give a great example about how Plan B can work as the main plan, the default for the family involved. I'm talking about when Walter had just started kindergarten, your son Walter, had just started kindergarten and was on the playground. Tell us that story.
It's right after Karen and I get married. So when we're out on the playground and there's a rousing game of tag going on led by this wiry girl. And the wiry girl, somebody tells me, is the daughter of two dads. And I lean in and I tell Walter, and he blows it off. He's in kindergarten. He doesn't really care. But the little blonde boy behind him, the sturdy boy, is completely nonplussed. He says, "Two dads?" And Walter just ignores him. But he catches up with Walter, and he whaps him on the arm, and he says, "Two dads." I'm on the edge hovering. I'm thinking, should I lean in and tell them that love comes in different packages and give a few examples of Plan B families? But Walter gets there first. He has this great habit that Karen and Victor, his dad, also share, which is that he takes what's been said, he finds one thing he can agree with, and he pretends it's the only thing that's been said. So 5-year-old Walter looks at it into his interrogator right in the face, and he says, "You're right. It is unusual. Usually it's two moms." The message I want readers to get from that story is that Walter's just fine, and lots of children in Plan B families are fine. I tell an essentially happy story because the case files and library shelves are already chock-filled with stories of fracture and disappointment and acrimony. And so this is an antidote to that, to say that lots of times, in fact, I would argue most of the time, Plan B arrangements, often made through contracts, turn out just fine.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much.
Martha Ertman, wife and mother, teaches law at the University of Maryland Carey School of Law. Her new book is Love's Promises, How Formal and Informal Contracts Shape All Kinds of Families. She's speaking about it tomorrow, 7 p.m. at the Ivy Bookshop on Falls Road. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast.